Blog Talk Radio.
All right, so we ain't wasting no time. We're going to get right into it. Now, we just did the Surviving R. Kelly review, you know, on the show last week. And there have been continuous developments since then and new things coming out. Old things resurfacing that people forgot about or never stumbled across. And R. Kelly has been the talk of social media and media in general, you know, for the past, you know, what, week or two, ever since the first episode of Surviving R. Kelly aired on Lifetime. And so, we just going to go ahead and just jump right to it. So, you know, recently I discovered, I heard about it. I want to say I definitely had heard about it, but I just, like, you know, forgot because, you know, like, it's just, you know, one of those things where it's just like, you know, a lot of us are just guilty of just, you know, sweeping it under the rug and, you know, just not taking it serious enough, you know. So, me, myself, like, I stopped listening to R. Kelly and all that stuff. But, you know, that was in recent years. But before then, I was still, like, listening to him and stuff. You know, I was younger when those allegations came out. You know, I was, like, you know, when the sex tape came out in 2002, I was 19. And I didn't have the maturity and the mindset that I have now, you know, and the moral values that I have now, you know. So I had come across recently a video. Now, I'd never seen this, you know, of K. Michelle, the R&B diva, K. Michelle, talking about, you know, her come up and, you know, her dealings with R. Kelly. Now, K. Michelle pretty much was saying that she didn't really want to really throw R. Kelly under the bus because she felt as though she owes her career to R. Kelly, her success. Like, he paved the way for her. He mentored her. He helped her. She was even living in the house with R. Kelly. She was living with R. Kelly, you know. Now, she didn't make him sound like the Prince Charming or anything, but she wouldn't really, really bring out the skeletons, pretty much, you know. She danced around some things she just, you know, just flirted a little bit, but she never really gave you, like, the, you know, she gave you the appetizers, but she never gave you the entree. You know what I mean? Like, that main course never came. And, you know, I don't know exactly when that video was from, but I know it's my first time seeing it. Because until the Surviving R. Kelly came out, it's not something I really thought about. Like, my days weren't spent thinking about R. Kelly. I knew he was a pedophile because I knew that he had married Aaliyah. You know what I mean? But it's just something that you just kind of, so many of us are guilty of this, just kind of, like, you know, moved on in life and kind of just forgot about because he didn't get convicted of it. You know, and I never saw this actually. But anyway, so I'm sitting there thinking, like, well, at the end of the day, she's saying that she, you know, owes R. Kelly for her success and her career. She's grateful, so she don't want to throw him under the bus. So Keisha Cole has a lot of fans and supporters who are mostly black women. Her fans mostly consist of black women, probably from around age, like, 15 to about 35. You know, I think she has a pretty broad audience from young ladies to older. Now, she's been in the game for quite some time now, so I think her fan base is starting to be, a little older as far as, like, the ladies. I think it's starting to, the average might be a little older as opposed to when she first came out. She's definitely a grown woman now. But nonetheless, just imagine how many of her fans are probably survivors of predators and, molesters, pedophiles, sexual abusers, all of that stuff. You know, and I'm just thinking, like, well, does she, this is my question for y'all, even to myself. Does K. Michelle owe it to battered and abused women, victims of pedophilia, predators, and monsters? Does she owe it to them, her fans, the survivors of R. Kelly, because she was in the house with them too, live with them too, so she has to know some of those girls. I don't know about the ones that was on the documentary, but she has to know some other R. Kelly survivors. She has to. There's no way she could not know any of them if she was living in the house with them. Does she owe it to those groups of women to spill the beans? Put R. Kelly on blast and tell us everything you know. Did he ever beat your ass? Did he ever threaten you, or did he ever do that to any of the other females while you were right there? She told us about how, he had a woman, like real woman, in the shark tank. She said she thinks they were on payroll, but he had women in the shark tank. And when, if a woman came up to the glass and, like, put her hands on the glass, she would, like, mimic, basically like a mom. She would mimic their movement. Like, if they rubbed the glass, then the woman inside the tank would rub the glass, etc. But if a man came up to the glass, they would ignore him. Now, how many times throughout Surviving R. Kelly and doing research have you seen people confirm that the women in R. Kelly's possession were not allowed to interact with men, which is so crazy to me. Like, that's so crazy. Because, like, how does that make you look? You don't even care how that makes you look. Like, you're that cocky. You know, like, you want to show dominance. You know. And so it's definitely a sex cult, no doubt about it. And, you know, for K. Michelle to have the insider's information that she has, but she is a star. She is an R&B diva. She is considered one of the best singers of the era. One of the best R&B singers of the era. You know, for her to not go come out and just fully just, this is everything I know. He did this, he did that, or he didn't do this because he never, and you can tell she knows some stuff because her whole thing is like, well, I don't want to go too much into it because I don't want to throw him under the bus. It's not like, no, y'all just don't understand. He's not what you think. He's a good guy. She never said that. That lets you know. She knows some stuff. And she gave us a little something here, a little something there, but she never, like, really, really gave you, what you really need. Like, she never gave you that full course, you know what I mean? She never gave you the main course. She never really gave you, like, something that would be, like, helpful. And let's say if they was trying to get an indictment, and they're like, oh, we're going to use K. Michelle as one of our key witnesses. Like, she never gave you enough to be like, yeah, she could be a key witness because she said this or that. You know what I mean? So, again, did you think that K. Michelle owes it to the fans, who most of our fans probably have witnessed some type of abuse, because almost every woman I've ever met has been a victim of some type of abuse, sad to say. But so imagine how many of our fans are survivors of sexual predators, pedophiles and so on. Like, does she owe it to her fans, to the victims of sexual predators. Predators. And does she owe it to the survivors of R. Kelly, whom some, not necessarily the ones on Surviving R. Kelly, but she has to know some of them because she was living in the house with them. That's been confirmed. She confirmed that. So, like, does she owe it to them? What do y'all think? I personally feel like she does because of her, you know, her status, her star status. It would be very impactful for her, K. Michelle, the R&B diva, to drop jewels, to say he did this, he did that, he did this to me, that to me. I seen him do this to this girl. Yes, he whipped her ass. I seen it with my own eyes. He used to make girls drink piss and da-da-da. Like, whatever she know. Like, I feel like she does owe it to him, you know, because at the end of the day, she has become a very wealthy woman because of the financial investment that these ladies, black women who are the victims of R. Kelly, you know, them spending their dollars is the reason why she is a very wealthy woman. So because of that, I feel like she does owe it to them. But that's just me. What do y'all think? So Aaliyah's mother spoke out. Her name is Diane Halton. I think I'm saying her name right. Diane Halton. She made a public service announcement that was in response to a Miss Javante Cunningham, who was one of the featured ladies in Surviving R. Kelly, who stated that when they were on the tour bus, they were in their bunks, and I guess R. Kelly and Aaliyah was, like, in a room, like, a room, because, you know, she said the door swung open, so they must have been in, like, the little room while everybody else was in their bunks. I didn't see the tour bus. I don't know how it looked, but that's what I'm picturing based on what she said. She said that, I don't know how it happened. I don't know if the bus hit a bump or, you know, how it happened that the door swung open, but how it happened really doesn't matter. You know, the door swung open, and there R. Kelly was having sex or sexual relations with Aaliyah, who was 15 at the time, and he was 27. So he's got her by 12 years, you know. And she said there it was, right there. Like, they saw it with their own eyes. And, you know, I don't know if they just have an intercourse or it was like, you know, some other little freaky stuff going on in there. I don't know if it was somebody was giving somebody some licky-licky or what. I don't know what, but there they were having sexual relations. And it's like, damn, that's crazy because at the end of the day, he's our mentor. She's 15, you know. So shortly after that, you know, R. Kelly's, I got my notes because it's just so much. It's too much to remember. I don't have the best memory, so it's too much. Like, even a person with a good memory probably wouldn't be able to remember all of this stuff. But R. Kelly's tour manager / personal assistant, Demetrius Smith, you know, had he stated that R. Kelly came to him and said, "Man, I think I got Aaliyah pregnant." And he said how he was, like, you know, upset about that, you know, because he, R. Kelly had, you know, told Demetrius Smith that he was not, you know, messing with Aaliyah. Like, he wasn't, you know, dealing with her on that type of level. He said he wasn't engaged in a sexual relationship with Aaliyah, you know, and then to turn around and come to him and say that he think he might have got her pregnant. So anyway, which takes us back to Diane Halton, Aaliyah's mom, who made a public service announcement, and she said the following. The woman and so-called backup singer in the forthcoming Surviving documentary that describes seeing, meeting, or even breathing the same air as my daughter, Aaliyah, is lying and a liar. My husband and I were always on tour with her and at interviews in every place she went through her entire career. Whoever this woman is, I have never seen her before anywhere on planet Earth until now. These lies and fabrications cannot be tolerated and allowed to be spewed from the forked tongues of saboteurs of Aaliyah's legacy. Shame on all those involved in the project who thought it kosher to drag Aaliyah's name into a situation that has nothing to do with her today. Once again, this will not be tolerated. So, that was Aaliyah's mom, Diane Halton's statement. You know, her public service announcement. And so, what do y'all think about that? Because there's been a lot of, interesting, feedback and backlash from that statement. A lot of people feel like, how can Aaliyah's mom say that when it's been confirmed even by R. Kelly's lawyer, who, has publicly come out since Surviving R. Kelly aired and stated that, yes, he confirmed, actually, that, yes, indeed, R. Kelly was married to Aaliyah. But he said that it's believed that R. Kelly thought that Aaliyah was 18. And that Aaliyah lied to R. Kelly about her age. Even though R. Kelly wrote, "Age ain't nothing but a number." Like, there's no way he didn't know her age. Because Demetrius Smith confirmed that he's the one that documents forged so they could get married. So he assisted him. He assisted R. Kelly in making that happen. So there's no way that R. Kelly didn't know her age. Your mom, he write age ain't nothing but a number. She grown. So, Aaliyah's mom, is basically, she's basically calling BS on Javante Cunningham. And it's like, what do y'all think? Because a lot of people feel like, how can you say that, they never engaged in they never engaged in intercourse because you were always around, but they got married. Were you around when they got married? No. So how was you always around? And it surely got annulled, very quickly after they got married, which I don't know if it's confirmed, but people are saying that Aaliyah's mom, Diane Halton, is behind the annulment, which would make a lot of sense. But, people are saying, well, how were you always around? They got married. Where were you then? It's rumored that Aaliyah was pregnant, and it's rumored that that's why they got married, I want to say. Don't necessarily quote me on that, but I think that, I haven't had to watch it again. I think that they were saying that, once R. Kelly found out that Aaliyah was pregnant, they went and got married. I don't know. That part don't even necessarily matter. It's the fact that, he married a 15-year-old. And, yes, he knew she was 15. And it's confirmed. R. Kelly and his team, his lawyer doesn't deny it or anything. So it's like, what do y'all think? My personal opinion, with all due respect, and I talked about this on my show, It's Real Talk Radio, check it out. The link is in the description. It's a whole 2-hour episode of myself and my co-host, Nizzy Nay, shout out to her, talking about this whole Surviving R. Kelly. Basically, we did a review. But in my personal opinion, I feel as though, no disrespect, because I'm a super huge Aaliyah fan. But, I mean, I don't see how Aaliyah's mom can really, criticize Javante Cunningham when everybody knows that they got married. You know, if they got married, what you would, so they didn't have sex even after they got married too? She still would have been 15 at the time. So what? How can you discredit her? Like, and why? You know, like, don't you, are you an R. Kelly supporter? Like, you a supporter of R. Kelly, and he married your daughter at 15? Like, you support him, and you see what's coming out about him, and all of the allegations, and the proof of those allegations, and the sex tape with his face, I mean, allegedly, you want it, because I ain't see it myself, but I believe, like, everybody that I know that's seen this, it is him, and I don't, why would I not believe him? Even people I know personally said they seen it, and it's him, like, people that said they seen it, you know, people in the industry and everything, like, yeah, it's him, like, come on, man. So, why are you trying to discredit Javonte Cunningham? Like, why? Like, what do you have to gain out of, I understand that you don't want your daughter's name, you know, kind of really saw in that light, but I'm just saying, this isn't about downing Aaliyah. Like, I heard some negative stuff said about Aaliyah, but just negative stuff said about everybody. You got to look past that. You know, the average person isn't blaming Aaliyah. She was a teenager. Even if people are saying, oh, she was probably fast, whatever, who cares? If she was, who cares? She's 15. You're the grown man. You're the one that has to say, no, you're too young. Like, I'm your mentor, and we're going to keep it at that. But we all know that he's probably 99% likely the one that came onto her and influenced her. You know, and of course, then Dame Dash came out recently about, Nick Cannon interviewed Dame Dash recently, and Nick Cannon asked about, you know, the whole Aaliyah thing and the R. Kelly thing came up, and Dame Dash was talking about how, because, you know, Dame Dash was dating Aaliyah, and I heard they were engaged. I'm not sure that's true. It's been so many years, I've had to look that up. But we know that he says that, you know, that he was dating her. You know, that was his girl. And Dame Dash said that, you know, when it came to R. Kelly, Aaliyah, it was a hard time. She had a hard time talking about it. She didn't really want to get into it. And she didn't want him to want to do something to R. Kelly if she, like, brought all the skeletons out. And he just left it at that because she knew he would want to do something to R. Kelly. And she really told him everything. And it was very upsetting for her. And, you know, he said it was a difficult situation for him to deal with. And so on. You know? So, yeah, my personal opinion, like I said, with all due respect to the mom of one of the most successful, not successful, but one of the best singers, all due respect to one of the best singers of her era, Aaliyah. You know, I loved me some Aaliyah. Me and Aaliyah are, you know, close in age. She's older than me by a few years, so that was my era, you know. She was a teen, I was a teen, you know what I mean? So I came up listening to Aaliyah. I remember in high school when her song was coming out, you know. So, yeah. I just don't, it's like, well, why does she not want to, I don't know. I would like to know more. I hope she comes out and does an interview and we can really get more from her. Because I've been hearing a lot of negative stuff about Aaliyah's mom because of that statement. And I don't want to sit here and bash Aaliyah's mom because I'm thankful that she gave the world Aaliyah. And I don't want to believe that she just, you know, for the sake of money, you know, and capitalizing, that she just, you know, basically sacrificed her daughter to for financial gain. I don't want to believe that. So I would definitely like to hear something come, like I see an interview with her or something, and get more in-depth detail from her about why she made that statement and her views on, don't shy away. Like, we need to hear, like, your views on, you know, R. Kelly. Like, do you support him? Are you against him? You know what I mean? Like, we need to know, you know what I mean? All due respect, and rest in peace to Aaliyah, but you know what I mean? It's like, Aaliyah's ours too, you know what I mean? Because us, the fans, made helped make Aaliyah who she was by supporting her music. And we are hurt by her death too. We, you know, mourn her too. And that's the reason why, like, we want to know, you know what I mean? We want to know. So, you know, that's my take on that. What do y'all think? Are y'all, you know, do y'all feel as though Aaliyah's mom is, you know, basically, like, she just, you know, it was all about the financial gain, or she, you know, sacrificed her daughter, or do y'all think that the media is blowing it out of, blowing it up? Do y'all think the media is just is blowing smoke? Do y'all think the media is just overplaying it? You know, do y'all think that people are just, you know, just being too extra? You think it's being blown out of proportion? Like, how do you feel about Aaliyah's mom, Diane Halton, and her PSA on Javante Cunningham's statement on surviving R. Kelly? Can we please talk to Miss Andrea Kelly for a second? Like, can we have Miss Andrea Kelly approach the bench? Because I'm trying to understand her stake in this whole thing with surviving R. Kelly and everything, and her getting on there and crying and boo-hooing and, you know, showing that she too, even though she was a spouse, was a victim. And not to take that away from her, I'm pretty sure he's done some, you know, some really cruel, mean things to her. Like, I'm pretty sure she's a victim of mistreatment and goodness knows what else. Physical abuse, sexual abuse, I'm pretty sure is a laundry list of the things that he did to her too. You know, like, I wouldn't put it like this. I wouldn't bet against it. But with that said, you know, I don't even want to say I'm pretty sure. I'm just going to say it's a good possibility. Not to sound insensitive, but, you know, in when you listen to the show that we did on Surviving R. Kelly, right, that was before this came out about, you know, when people started sending the videos of, like, you know, of Andrea Kelly. You know, not the Surviving R. Kelly Andrea Kelly, but the That's My Baby Daddy Andrea Kelly. And I hadn't seen that before we did the review. So if you heard the review, which the link is in the description, scroll down, you'll see in the description, the It's Real Talk Radio Surviving R. Kelly review. Didn't know that at the time, so we didn't discuss this on the show. But Andrea Kelly has some interesting things to say about her ex-husband, R. Kelly. Now, I don't know when these came out. Like, I don't know if they were recorded on Instagram or Facebook Live. I think she said it was Facebook Live on one of them. I don't know what year it was. You know, I don't know exactly when it was, but they've been divorced since 2009, you know. So I don't know when it was, but to me it don't even matter. So let me just quote some of the things that Miss Andrea Kelly had to say about her baby daddy, R. Kelly. She thanks him that her children get to live the life that they live due to his hard work. Yes, this is Andrea Kelly, Miss Woo Hoo Hoo. She says, we, because she doesn't pay rent or bills for a separate house. So she says, like, we, when she's talking about her and the kids, she says we, basically saying she includes herself because, you know, it benefits her too that R. Kelly has the career that he has and is able to provide for them. She says she really respects R. Kelly because it's not easy. It's not easy being R. Kelly, so she respects him. She also says no matter what people's opinions are, The fact he held his head high and went out there to make money, you know, it didn't kind of like cut right there. But the fact that he held his head high and went out there to make money is like, you know, she respects him, basically. She respects him. I mean, the list goes on and on. She says, and it was another video I seen of her, and she was saying, this is the one where she's riding in the car, and she's got the other dude next to her, and she's calling him baby daddy. And I'm like, well, they got a kid together. I looked it up. It didn't say she had four kids or extra kids. It said she had three from what I could find. I mean, I don't know. You know, it's not like everything you find on the internet is always 100% accurate, but when you don't know these people, that's all you really have to go on. So, from my understanding, she has three kids, all by R. Kelly, but she was calling the dude next to her baby daddy. And, like, I don't get it. Like, you're really that ghetto that a dude is not your, you're a grown woman and a guy that's not your baby daddy, you call him baby daddy? That's just one of those moral things. That's not even, like, the point. She said, no matter what people's opinions are, the fact he out there say hi and went out there to make money. Okay, I already read that part. She said, You ain't got nothing to say about him. I'ma cuss your ass out. That's my family. This is R. Kelly she's speaking about. R. Kelly. Yes, R. Kelly, the one that abused her and had her afraid and did all this torturous stuff to her, and you know, she's totally against, she's on the documentary called Surviving R. Kelly, basically. Like, and she's, but on the video, the music playing, oh my God, she had his music playing in the background. She said, hold on, y'all, when this song go off, I'm going to talk to y'all. R. Kelly's music playing while she's driving. And she said, she could talk about how no good he is, because that's our family. You know, and she knows how good he actually is. And it's like she started getting to this whole thing about when your family, if you got like a sister or a family member that's basically a hoe, you might could say she's a hoe, but if somebody else says she a hoe, then you could be ready to pop off. And I'm like, she's sitting there dancing and moving her head and, you know, like an Egyptian queen to R. Kelly's music, but then she's on a documentary boo-hooing. And I'm like, did the producer of Surviving R. Kelly, like, did the team that helped put it together, and definitely the producer, like, did they, like, know about this and still bring her on there? Because to me, that takes away credit. Like, that adds some discredit to not only Andrea Kelly, but to all of the survivors. Because one could argue that, well, if she is on Surviving R. Kelly boo-hooing, but making social media videos about this, defending him and bigging him up and speaking of him in high regard, then who's to say the other females don't do the same thing behind closed doors or don't speak highly of him, and it's not over-exaggerated and, you know, people trying to capitalize, and maybe there's some type of gain they got out of this, or book promises, and, you know, stuff like that. And so you start bringing those things to question, and it's like, that just damages the entire docuseries. Like, it damages the whole thing. And it's like, I don't understand. Like, obviously those videos happened before. I mean, I don't know for sure, but I'm willing to think and believe there's no, she can't be that stupid to make those videos after the series came out, after Surviving R. Kelly came out. Nonetheless, how did this happen that those videos exist, and then Surviving R. Kelly comes out and people have access to these videos, and it's like you get to see her in a whole different light, speaking highly of him, basically sound like she ready to beat a bitch ass if she talk bad about R. Kelly. Because she said, that's our family, her words, not mine, her words, that's our family. And it's like, are you serious, lady? Are you really serious? Like, you can't be serious. And so now, you know, when I first listened, she was like one of my favorite people to listen to on a docuseries, me personally. And I'm like, because I'm like, well, she was his spouse, so I'm going to definitely take everything she says into consideration because she's the one that married him and had 3 kids with him. And now she went from that to the least credible witness, the least credible survivor. And I'm like, man, you serious? And she just like I said, she adds discredit to everything at this point. Now, me personally, that don't make me, like, really not believe the other survivors now. And I can't even say she's not a survivor because of that, but it does bring some shadiness into question. That's not a good thing when it comes to stuff like this. Like, if I was having a trial when I was, like, you know, if I was the prosecution, I wouldn't even want her after those videos because I know that's perfect, like, you know, for the defense. Because the defense could talk her into circles and destroy her on the stand based on that. I wouldn't even call her up. I wouldn't even want her to be a witness. She a better witness for the defense. She a better witness for R. Kelly than she is for the prosecution. So I just thought that was crazy. And it makes me, like, really question her, like, her moral code and even, like, her mental stability. Like, is she, like, that damaged from being with, you know, from the abuse from R. Kelly that she's, like, you know, bipolar / schizophrenic or something? Like, what the heck? Like, I don't get it. It's crazy to me. And it makes me just, like, I just look at her in a shady way now. Like, I just can't even take her, like, I'm just sad to say, I kind of can't take her serious. Like, I don't know what to believe and not to believe. So I would rather hear from other women who don't contradict themselves. You know what I mean? And anyone who is a contradiction like her, it would be the same thing. You know, I believe these ladies, but anyone who contradicts themselves the way she did, I would have to take a double glance at it, and I would have to start them to the side and not even really acknowledge them in this situation no more because it's like I don't know what to believe and not to believe. And, you know, none of us like this thing, these things that R. Kelly is accused of and stuff, but at the end of the day, you know, you can't not factor that stuff in. You know, motive and agenda, you can't just not factor that stuff in. You know what I mean? You can't only think with emotion. You have to also think with integrity before you form a good, you know, calculated, educated opinion, you know? So what do y'all think about Andrea Kelly? Do y'all feel as though she discredits the other ladies or herself or the docuseries, or do y'all think she's, like, kind of just lost it? Do y'all think she's shady? Do y'all think she was just trying to capitalize? I even heard some people say she was the only one that got paid on the docuseries. Now, I don't know how true that is or if it's true at all. But what do y'all think? What do y'all think about Andrea Kelly? So how should we feel about R. Kelly supporters and enablers, the people who still listen to R. Kelly, which allows him to have that, you know, financial stability to live the life he's living, you know, which, you know, pays his bills and keeps his lights on and keeps his sex cult functioning, you know what I mean? His supporters and enablers, the people who they say he can't really read or write too well. So people around him are having to read things to him and tell him things. I mean, even his own ex-wife, Andrea Kelly, say he can't read and right, really. So, like, you know, there has to be other people that's helping him. So these enablers and supporters of R. Kelly, you know, like, how do y'all feel about these enablers and supporters of R. Kelly? How should we feel about them? Like, do y'all think that the people who helped assist R. Kelly in meeting, dating, and abusing these young girls and women in general should, you know, deserve to be prosecuted as well as R. Kelly? Do y'all feel as though they're basically accessory to a crime? You know? Like, how do y'all feel about the people that still listen to and support R. Kelly, the people that defend him and play his music all the time? Is it to each their own, or if you support a sexual predator, then you're pretty much no better? You know? How do you feel? Because, I mean, basically, if you are a person that has sex with teenage girls and you're in your late 20s and your 30s, 40s, 50s, and all of that, you are a pedophile. So if you think that R. Kelly, how could you not think? This is stupid. I can't believe I'm saying this, but if you think that R. Kelly might have leaked, which he did, it's proven, his lawyer said it, confirmed it, you know, and you say, all right, well, yeah, I don't believe them other girls, but he did marry and have sex with Aaliyah, but probably not the other girls. Well, he's still a pedophile. You know what I mean? So it's like, well, if you support R. Kelly and you think that he at least had sex with Aaliyah when she was 15, you definitely indeed are supporting a pedophile. So is that like to each their own, like, I'm not here to judge, because you hear that a lot. Like, I'm not here to judge his personal life, his character. I just like his music. Is that acceptable? Like, a lot of us, you know, you got probably friends or cousins, aunts, uncles, mothers, fathers, cousins, you know, that listen to R. Kelly still to this day. And, like, I don't care what people think, that's them, that ain't me. I like his music. I'm not here to, you know, be I'm not like his personal friend, or I don't have a personal connection with him. It's just the music. I like the music. I don't care about what people do with their personal life. Is that acceptable? Can you sit in the same room and go out and be at a function with a person who feels that way about R. Kelly, that, you know, like, I don't care, like, I'm going to, you know, support it because I like it? Or even better, literally defends him and says, I don't believe any of it, is all baloney, and they just trying to bring the black man down. And they ain't say the stuff about Hugh Hefner, and you hear that a lot, people talking about Hugh Hefner and, well, what he was doing with underage girls when he was alive. So, I mean, you know, most of us know somebody who thinks that way. Still, is stepping in the name of love and believing they can fly and trying to get out of being trapped in the closet. You know what I mean? Like, we have, you know, friends and family that still are in love with these tunes, and even after Surviving R. Kelly came out, they still listen to it. How do you feel about these people now? Do they deserve criticism? If a person supports R. Kelly at this point, can you still be their friend? Can you still be a active, involved family member with this person? Or do you feel as though you have to separate yourself from that person because that speaks highly on their character and their moral code? You know? I don't know, man. Y'all let me know how y'all feel. You know? But I'ma just say this. A person that can tolerate and still support a person who behaves in such a way as R. Kelly, I would say you have to question their moral code and their values. You know, I don't think that necessarily makes them a bad person themselves, you know, but you definitely have to question, especially they're not related to him, they don't have no personal ties, they don't have no allegiance to him. You have to question their moral code and their values. You got to ask yourself, well, do I care about a person's moral code and value to have a personal relationship with them, their values and their moral code? And I guess that's up to us as individuals to make that decision on, you know, how you personally feel about those things. Do you hold moral code and values to such a high regard that it affects your personal relationships with people? You decide for yourself. You let me know. Y'all let me know. So R. Kelly's lawyer came out and, you know, in defense of R. Kelly, which, you know, this is what, you know, criminal defense attorneys do, you know. That's his job. I don't know if we can hold that. I mean, he's doing his job, so whatever. But, you know, R. Kelly's attorney said that, you know, they are threatening to sue all parties involved in the Surviving R. Kelly docuseries. And I just want to know, like, how y'all feel about that. Like, do y'all, I mean, how do y'all feel about that, man? Like, is there any, like, R. Kelly supporters out there that's like, yeah, like, way to go, Kells? Like, you know, like, you know, like, are there any neutral people out there that's just like, you know, they can kind of see why, or kind of see, like, you know, they can kind of agree with concept, like, you know what I mean? Do y'all even take it serious? Or do y'all think that's just like something out of desperation to kind of throw some deflection out because of all of the negative publicity R. Kelly is getting from the docuseries? Though his streams have gone up, skyrocketed since then. But, you know, there's multiple reasons as to why that would happen. I mean, like, people that, like, a lot of people that's probably clicking his music and stuff are listening for clues and, you know, certain songs. Like, I'll admit, I listened to Age Ain't Nothing But a Number earlier, but I didn't listen to it off of, like, you know, you know, I tried to make sure I listened to it in a way that it wasn't profiting him. Like, I didn't go on Spotify or Tidal or Apple Music and listen to it that way and try to, you know, get him a stream and get him a play. But, you know, I listened to it off of, you know, another, I just listened to it in a way that I tried to pretty much avoid it, like something that didn't have R. Kelly's name attached to it. You know what I mean? Just to try to, you know, kind of like really just, like, lock into the lyrics and listen to what Aaliyah was saying and pretty much, you know what I mean? Knowing that R. Kelly wrote the song and pretty much, I don't know if he wrote every song on her album, but I know he did probably most of the writing on her album. You know, I know he wrote that song. And just trying to, you know, put it together for myself because I wanted to make sure I knew as much as possible before I came on here and spoke to the people. You know what I mean? Now, other people, they probably would go on Spotify or whatever and listen. And those people that did, based on after hearing the series, you know, all people didn't do it to say I'm a support R. Kelly. Some was like the same reason why I was doing it, trying to get clues, trying to listen to, you know, certain things. And that's Aaliyah's song, not R. Kelly, but he wrote it. So I'm pretty sure there's some royalties that tie into him. You know what I mean? But either way, you know, a lot of people are curious, you know, about the lyrics that R. Kelly wrote and a lot of his own music too. You know what I mean? Certain songs, a lot of people are talking about the whole thing, my mind telling me no, but my body is telling me yes, or whatever he said, you know. A lot of people have been, you know, commenting about that, saying that's, you know, that's about him, you know, pretty much, you know, being attracted to a young girl when his mind is telling him no, but his body is telling him yes, and he can't fight it, like, you know, so, And, yeah, so, I mean, he's threatening in the suit. Do y'all take it serious, man? Do y'all take it serious? Do y'all think he's really going to try to sue? If he does, do y'all think he has a strong case? Do you think he'll be successful? Do you think his lawyer and him are just ridiculous? I mean, like, is it, like, pathetic? Like, how do y'all feel about it? I feel like it's an act of desperation myself, like, trying to do something, like, you know, trying to pretty much do anything they can to combat it, you know what I mean, to strike back. I mean, I guess to be an attorney, it just don't require, you know, you don't think with morals, you know. But his attorney did say he was just with him the other night and he didn't do it and he wasn't just saying, like, R. Kelly's attorney didn't just say there's no evidence. He's like, he didn't do it. He's not a sexual abuser. My thing is this. Like, he's not a predator, a sexual predator, and all that stuff. If I was interviewing R. Kelly's lawyer, you know what I would say to him? You know what I would ask him? I would say, so, do you have a daughter? He might say yes. He might say no. Well, he probably tried to deflect, like, what was that to do anything, blah, blah, blah. You know, but if he said yes, or even if he said no, I would say, well, that should make out you do have a daughter. Or, you know what I mean? Or maybe you got a granddaughter, whatever. But would you feel comfortable with your daughter or granddaughter being staying the night in the studio with R. Kelly? You know, like being in the studio with R. Kelly without you doing a song, doing music. Now, he probably would say, yeah. But I would say, all right, let's do this under oath. You know, you're a lawyer. So can we put you under oath real quick? Can you put your hand on this Bible and say under oath that you definitely would feel comfortable? You're a lawyer, so I expect you to lie under oath. I mean, you know. Like, seriously, man, because this is crazy. I really would do that, y'all. Like, I'm not even joking. Like, I really would. He probably would storm out the set. I don't even care. Like, I'm not here to be a friend of someone defending a sexual predator. That's just me. So are we condoning R. Kelly's behavior if we listen to his music? I would say yeah. I would say, like, yeah, if we're listening to his music and supporting his music, I would say we are condoning it. Like, I am definitely guilty of listening to his music. Like, I love Trapped in the Closet. Of course, that's way after the sex tape came out or whatever. I supported it. I loved it. It's a brilliant record. The videos was fun to watch. And, you know, he got a bunch of songs that I liked, and I still like the music, but I just can't, like, get myself to, like, I can't even, like, listen. Like, when I listen, I just start thinking about, like, the things that all these victims are saying, the survivors are saying, and it's like, I can't even get into it. I can't even hear it the same way no more. And it's just like, man, like, you know, but, you know, a lot of us are just very guilty of, like, you know, overlooking the fact that, you know, he married Aaliyah at 15, he was 27, and the sex tape, and the girl was, what, 14? You know, a lot of us are just guilty of, like, just, you know, kind of sweeping it under the rug, and it's like time was just different back then where it just wasn't as big a deal. It was like, oh, some younger girls go for older men. You know, swept under the rug, and you just took it with a grain of salt and kept it moving. But now that, you know, now we have, like, movements and focused efforts on combating sexual predators and all of these movements, you know, like, really help shed light on it, and people really see the horrors in it, and people really paid attention, start hitting close to home, and other people, women are starting to come out, and people, you know, personally tell you about how when they was, you know, victims of a sexual predator, and now that has changed the game, and rightfully so, thankfully so. Now we're able to look at it from a different lens, you know? And so I do feel like we are condoning sexual predator behavior. You know, we support a person who's a proven sexual predator, which I feel as though R. Kelly is a proven. I mean, all these videos, the video speaks for itself. Like I said, I didn't see it, but people I know personally said they saw it. Some even celebrities, entertainers, and, you know, people that know R. Kelly said they saw it, and it's definitely him. It's him, man, like. So that's the evidence, and it's confirmed that he married Aaliyah. His own attorney admitted he married Aaliyah at 15, but He has reason to believe that R. Kelly thought that she was 18.
That's BS.
There's proof. You know? So, we, in fact, because I'm going to include myself and give myself some real criticism. You know what I mean? I had to grow up. You know, I'm glad this docuseries came out because it allowed me to remember who R. Kelly really is, to get how good his music is. And his music is brilliant. It really is. But forget that. What means more? Good music, great music, or your moral code? Which one means more? And I am ashamed of myself that I have supported R. Kelly over the years by listening to his music and watching the Trapped in the Closet videos multiple times and streaming his music and, you know, just being a continuous fan. Acting like I forgot that he peed on a 14-year-old girl and he married a 15-year-old girl, and even like the sex call thing, I think I was done once I found that out. But it shouldn't even have came to that. Because it's just like I just brushed it under the rug and just didn't think about it. And if I would have thought about it like how I've been thinking about it now, I know I would have cut it off then. But, you know, at the same time, when that sex tape thing came out, 2002, I was, 19? You know, and not to make no excuses, but, you know, most teenagers, young men and women in their early 20s, in their teens and stuff, you just don't think that far into, like, moral value and stuff, unfortunately, which shows how, you know, the young girls, you know, may indeed have let R. Kelly, you know, do whatever to them, and there's criticism that they were gold diggers and stuff. It's one thing if you were 30 and you knew about the allegations of R. Kelly, you know, and you still went with it. But if you were like 14, 15, very impressionable and starstruck, and R. Kelly want to do this to you, he wants you to drink his piss, or he wants you to eat poop, or he wants you to lick a girl, another girl's butthole, and want you to let him put a banana up your butt, whatever, you know, spit on you, throw up on you, whatever, whatever sick-like behavior this man probably is into. It's like a girl is that young. I mean, you just don't have a real moral value formulated yet. Some teens are more mature than others, and young adults are more mature than others. But on the grand scale of things, think back when you was a teenager, and think about your moral code now. Is it the same? I mean, like, come on. Nonetheless, I am still ashamed of myself for supporting him over the years. I really am. And I'm done. I've been done, and I'm more done now than ever. I cannot, will not, do not support R. Kelly. You know? But I did condone R. Kelly's behavior when I played his music and supported him. I did. And it's very shameful. Very shameful. And any of you listening right now, you did as well when you stepped into the name of love at your wedding, knowing he pissed on that 14-year-old girl, knowing he married Aaliyah at 15, even before the sex call stuff came out. Just those two things alone. You condone R. Kelly's behavior. You should be ashamed of yourself, too. I know I am. I got a question for y'all. Would you feel comfortable with R. Kelly mentoring your daughter? You know, even after all this stuff, would you feel comfortable? I mean, golden opportunity. Somehow, some way, your daughter got the opportunity to meet R. Kelly. You're with her, whatever. And R. Kelly's like, hey, man, let's say your daughter's 15. Just turned 15. Just had her 15th birthday. You know? And y'all were somewhere where, you know, somehow, some way, you met R. Kelly. You're backstage somewhere, and R. Kelly happened to be performing there, and you got to see a great artist that you love and adore backstage. And y'all met you and your family, and your 15-year-old daughter met that artist. And then you're moving along the hallway, and boom, here's R. Kelly. And he's like, oh, hey, how y'all doing, blah, blah, blah. Hey, man, I got some music here. I got an upcoming album. Here's free copies. I'm going to take a picture with y'all, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, and your daughter's like, oh, my God. And your daughter sings. And she's like, you know, once you get all her oh, my God stuff out the way and stuff, she's like, I'm an aspiring singer, and I want you to hear some of my work. Y'all don't tell him that. She tells him that. And he's like, oh, really? The dude's like, yes, 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 jumping up and down. And he's like, well, how about, you know, I'm staying at the, whatever, the Hampton, you know, just a mile away or whatever, over on Columbia Street or whatever. You know, I give you my room number, my phone number, and how about we set up an audition and see how it goes. And if it goes good, you know, I can maybe do some things for you. And she's like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And he does it at a time where, he sets it up at a time where, let's say y'all both work at that time. You know what I mean? But this is golden opportunity for your daughter, and you know she will not forgive you. Just like the story on Surviving R. Kelly. You know she will not forgive you if you don't let her go for that audition. You know, like, it's going to be, you know, she's going to be highly upset, and it's going to be some real, you know, damage between y'all over that. So she's going to be very upset. She might run away. She's very emotional, da-da-da. Would you approve it? Would you have to go with her? Would you say, you can do it, but we'll have to go with you because that is R. Kelly. He has connections. Would you say, hell no, ain't no way? I mean, would you cut R. Kelly off and kept going and not even gave him the time of day in the first place? How would it play out? What would you do? How would you handle that situation? This is your daughter now, close to home, your daughter. Golden opportunity. You know? What would you do? I'm going to let y'all know right now. Me, myself? Man, dead ain't the word. Like, this R. Kelly, nope, we're going to keep going. Whatever he's saying, talk to the hand, Kelly. It's like, you know what I mean? I would be highly offended that he even wants to even address, like, seeing that I have a young daughter with me, that he even has the audacity to even try to get our attention just based on his reputation. But that's just me. That's just me, you know? So what would you do? What would y'all do? Talk to me. What would y'all do in that situation? Some of y'all, now, to be real, some of y'all is like, oh, man, no way, da-da-da-da. After seeing that show, ain't no way. But some of y'all, like, some of y'all were really, some of y'all know y'all would, you know, some, y'all people that's real money hungry. See, I'm not money hungry. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to live comfortable and stuff. I'm not money hungry. I don't care about being rich. I never wanted fame. So that stuff doesn't even matter to me. But y'all people that are super money hungry and starstruck and, you know, y'all want fame and stuff, some of y'all would do it. Some of y'all would. Some of y'all would do it naively, thinking like, well, he was proven, and well, he was not proven innocent, but he was found innocent. And, you know, those girls were there willingly, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, some of y'all think like that, and y'all ones that think like that, y'all would definitely go with it. Like, y'all people that think like that, y'all would let them. You know what I mean? Some of y'all naively think that there's reasonable doubt, and you know, y'all would send y'all daughter to them, even if y'all had to work and y'all couldn't come. You You know what I mean? Some of y'all really would. Me? Ain't no way. Some of y'all would really sacrifice yourselves, your kids, for fame and fortune. I am so glad I'm not wired that way. So glad I'm not wired that way. And that could be the case in some of these situations. Some of these parents might really, truly have known. I mean, believed in their heart that he was guilty or whatever, that he's a monster or whatever, but this is our opportunity. Who knows? You know, some might really have thought like that, and that's just unfortunate. It's a damn shame for any family that did think that way for the underage girls that ended up being a part of R. Kelly's sex cult. So, again, I would not only be uncomfortable, it might be a confrontation, especially if I felt as though he was looking at my daughter a certain way, smiling at her like, oh, you know, saying little slick stuff. Or, oh, is that beautiful princess right there, your daughter? Excuse you? I'm about to fuck you up. All right, Kelly, like, who is you talking to? Like, about to swing on you, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, straight up, man. Straight up, like, even if it was, it wouldn't have to be my daughter. If it was my little sister or little cousin, I still would be on the defense. So if it was my daughter, you could best believe I'd be ready to ride out. There's no doubt about it. No doubt. And I can't see how any loving father wouldn't be ready to ride out over that. You know, so what would y'all do? What would y'all do if y'all had the opportunity to capitalize off, you know, R. Kelly and involve your daughter? You know what I mean? Like, how would it play out? He, you know, any scenario you can think of. Your daughter's a part of the scenario, but you got a chance to capitalize, maybe make hundreds of thousands of dollars. But you got to risk your daughter being around R. Kelly, possibly unsupervised. You know, but you roll the dice. Do you give R. Kelly the benefit of the doubt? Is there no way? Would you be ready to go up inside R. Kelly's head for even making, for even making that situation, you know, a possibility? Would you be ready to go outside R. Kelly said for suggesting having some private time with your daughter? You know, he say, all right, man, look, I'ma send y'all on a, you know, I'ma pay y'all, you know, so y'all know I'm real and I'm not that guy. I'ma give y'all both $500 a piece, and y'all, you know, y'all go to work, make y'all money. Hey, go $500 a piece. And I got, you know, this chaperone, you know, that, you know, I can introduce y'all to, and everything is good. Y'all don't have to worry. We'll even videotape the audition to show you, you know. Matter of fact, here go $1,000. I'm going to double up on y'all. Here go $1,000 a piece. Y'all do it in good hands, I promise. You know, chaperone money, we're going to record it. All of that. Then what? Now what you going to do? Like I said, it's about to be some problems. It's about to be a confrontation up there if that's me. But that's just me. What about y'all? Cause this ain't really about me. This is about y'all. What do y'all think? What would y'all do? So do you think the woman from Surviving R. Kelly have an agenda? Do you think that most of or all of the women on Surviving R. Kelly were just there to capitalize and that they weren't really victims, that they weren't really emotionally, mentally, physically, and sexually abused. Do you think they were there for a gain? Do you think they were there, you know, to capitalize off the, you know, the TV time, the publicity? Some people really think that. I can tell y'all that now just from reading the comments. You know, some people really do think that. Like, a lot of people are like, they see Joycelyn, you know, at the mall with R. Kelly in that video, and you look into the comments of that video, and people are like, yeah, she looks like she's really abused sarcastically. You know, I can't imagine how horrible that is to be at the mall shopping with your boo sarcastically. You know what I mean? Like, so some people really think that they're just there to capitalize. Like, you know, not to mention that, of course, there are still women that's with him. Not every woman that was living with R. Kelly has abandoned him and jumped on surviving R. Kelly. Some women, even that left R. Kelly, are just being quiet and not coming out. You know, so some people feel like, well, you know, if it was really that bad, why they ain't just leave? Why would you stay all that time? You know? Like, if he's not physically there with a gun to your head, why'd you stay? Some people really feel like that. Do you think the woman from Surviving R. Kelly have an agenda? Do you think they got paid for Surviving R. Kelly? Do you think they just capitalized not necessarily by getting a paycheck for the docuseries, but, you know, maybe, you know, now they can do interviews and get paid off of that. Maybe some of these women are estranged from R. Kelly. Now they're just trying to capitalize. The possibility of book deals. You know what I mean? Paid interviews. You know, maybe do, you know, a movie deal. You know what I mean? Do a movie about their life with R. Kelly. Or, you know what I mean? Like, all types of stuff. Do you think that's what this was about, and that there's no way that R. Kelly could have held these girls against their will? You know what I mean? Like, is that many of them? Why didn't they just wait till he went to sleep, beat his ass, band together, and got the hell up out of there? If they had cell phones, why didn't they just call 911? You know? These are real questions. What do y'all think? You know what I mean? Do y'all believe that, you know, there's a reasonable doubt that R. Kelly indeed is the victim of this situation because do y'all think that, do any of y'all think that R. Kelly took care of, provided for these girls and these ladies, and that he's the victim. He's being extorted and taken advantage of. Maybe some of them wanted to up their profit, their benefit, their financial gain, their whatever. And he was like, nah, I'm already giving you a good life, an upgrade from your present life to your previous life, so no. And they're like, oh, okay. So once they left, they started going on a press run, mute R. Kelly, and get on Surviving R. Kelly. What do y'all think? Is R. Kelly the victim of the situation? Is there a hidden agenda? His wife, ex-wife, Andrea Kelly. Now, a lot of people feel like, well, why did she keep, if it was really that horrible like you explained, why did you keep that last name? And I question that, too. She was Andrea Lee before Andrea Kelly, right? So why not go back to Andrea Lee? I feel the same way personally. Like, if I had a horrible experience with a spouse, luckily I'm a guy, I don't take the woman's last name. But I'm just saying, I know me. Like, I would definitely want my name back. I would want my maiden name back. Like, I would not want to keep the name, last name of someone who gave me a horrible experience and mistreated and abused me. But that's just me. You know? But do y'all think it was a hidden agenda? You know? From these ladies who are on Surviving R. Kelly and the ladies that have come out and come forward. me, myself, I don't dismiss the possibility that there was some ulterior motive. Behind some of the females, you know, some of the survivors, you know, I don't dismiss the possibility that between the survivors and their families, some of them may have been a hidden agenda, you know, as far as like, well, we can capitalize off of this instead of it being about, you know, seeking justice and, you know, helping other survivors and so on. But even with that said, I don't see any evidence to support it. Like, I don't rule it out, because you would think in a situation like that, you could understand how a person would want to capitalize, especially if they're scorned. Well, I'm at least get something out of this after you put me through that. Or maybe a person lied completely, but I just don't see the evidence to support it. So it's just a myth. Like, you know, there's nothing to support it. Like, we have evidence to support that R. Kelly was sexually active with underage women, with underage girls, not even women, underage girls. We don't have evidence to support that there was a hidden agenda and, you know, we don't have evidence to support that there was a hidden agenda and financial gain and benefit for these ladies in speaking out against R. Kelly. It seems like the only real gain is to possibly get justice and possibly have him prosecuted, or at least, hurt his marketing, his pockets, you know, hit him in his pockets, hit him where it hurt, you know, and stop him from being able to continue to profit and live the life he's living and being able to provide for a sex call, you know what I mean? And being able to be the sexual predator that most of us know, not think, know that he is. But what do y'all think? So I have a legit question. If R. Kelly's innocent, why won't he speak out? Why doesn't R. Kelly do interviews? Why won't R. Kelly come on The Breakfast Club, Hot 97, Sway in the Morning? Why won't R. Kelly come on CNN, ABC News, Fox? Why won't R. Kelly do a podcast or some type of live stream and just have a detailed discussion and talk about and, you know, basically rebuttal the accusations placed against him and pick it apart? You're lying because you know that I really came and rescued you because your family was the ones abusing you and I brought you to my home. Like, why can't, you know what I mean? Why not? Why not clear your name? If that were me, which it would never be me, but if that were me, I would be doing everything in my will and my power to clear my name, including speaking out publicly. I would not be hiding behind lawyers, and I would not be staying silent. And I think that's one of the biggest admissions of guilt by not speaking out. You know, it's not like he's awaiting trial. You know what I mean? There's no charges filed against R. Kelly, at least right now. So why can't he speak out if he's so innocent? Why can't he clear his name if he's so innocent? That's a legit question I'm asking y'all. So anybody that defends or supports R. Kelly, I really want to know. Please, by all means, tell me. Why? Why won't he do it? Why? What's the reason? Legit question, y'all. What's the reason? Give me something logical. Would you not? Let me ask y'all this. Would you not want to clear your name? Would you want to stay silent? And these allegations are out about you? Would you not want to come out and clear your name? At least sit somewhere with your attorney to help make sure you don't say anything incriminating? Sit on a public platform and combat these accusations, at least some of them. Why wouldn't you if you're innocent? Why? I mean, I need something. Like, you gotta give me something. Like, give me a good reason why. Because I myself would want to clear my name, and I would come out publicly. I don't care what my attorney says. I'm not gonna say I don't care what my attorney says, but if I'm in a situation R. Kelly's in, there's nothing put like this. In the situation R. Kelly's in right now, there's nothing my attorney could tell me to not come out publicly if I know I'm innocent. And I'm not even facing charges. So what reason is there? How can I say something incriminating and I'm not facing charges? There's no charges filed against me. I am going to clear my name. As soon as Surviving R. Kelly came out, the next day I would have been live streaming or on somebody's platform, network, or something, clearing my name. So to me, that's very telling. That lets me know that, you know, he's very arrogant. I definitely believe he's a narcissist and that he feels as though he don't need to do none of that stuff because what better way to get away with it than to just not say nothing, just keep moving, you know, and just let people say what they say. You know, that to me, that shows that he has no heart, no compassion, because just knowing what those types of accusations can do to people that live that themselves and are fans of yours, and that hurts them to their heart, and you can't come out and for the sake of your fans who have reasonable doubt that maybe you did do it, like, you could come out and reach out to them and be like, I don't want nobody to think I'm that type of person, and I would hurt people in that way, and I'm abusive, and I'm a predator, so let me talk to y'all. You don't care enough to do that. You can't say anything incriminating when there's no charges filed. If you ain't got nothing to hide, why can't you just come out and give the realness? I mean, you sure sing about everything in all your songs, so why can't you come out and have a conversation? Because, you know, you can reasonably say that a song is just a song. It's just lyrics. But when you come out and say something publicly and personally, people will take it a lot more serious. And you don't want to cause yourself more damage. And the reason why you're thinking like that, because you know that you really are this monster that you've been made out to be, in my opinion. My opinion. But what about y'all? What do y'all think? What do y'all think? Would you come out and defend yourself publicly and try to clear your name? Why do y'all think R. Kelly won't speak out? Why do y'all think he just stays quiet? And then we hear all of this sex call stuff, abuse me, choke me unconscious, smack me, threaten my family. You hear this stuff, but you don't hear anything on his side. You may hear one of his representatives, one of his enablers, come out and say something you know, on behalf of R. Kelly, but when does he come out and defend himself personally? Because he's the star. He's the icon. You know, he is the entertainer. He is the celebrity. So people care about it coming from you, not one of your enablers, not one of your supporters, not one of your staff members, not your attorney. Why won't he speak out? What do y'all think? Y'all let me know. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I found this very interesting. So, Beyonce's father, Matthew Knowles, came out and said that Destiny's Child teens did not leave. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I found this quite interesting. Beyonce's father, Matthew Knowles, spoke out about Destiny's Child collaborating with R. Kelly back in the day around 1998. Beyonce's father, Matthew Knowles, says he passed on using R. Kelly for a 1998 collaboration with Destiny's Child due to both business differences with the singer and his reputation. The 67-year-old tells Metro-Goldwyn-UK that when he and the group met with the singer, the girls were around 15 or 16 years old. I was there. This is a quote from Matthew Knowles, Beyonce's father. I was there, and my former wife Tina was there, the music manager said. When they went to the bathroom, Tina would go with them. They did not leave our eyes. Knowles told the outlet in detail about the environment in which R. Kelly immersed himself as he worked. The thing with R. Kelly was he liked to record late at night, around midnight, he said. And that was different with his studio. And that was different with his studio was not that one room had a recording. That's just some type of typo. And that was different. I'm going to just say, and that was different. Because his studio was that one room, and that was different. His studio was that one room, and it had a recording suite. And next door was a club with 40 or 50 people dancing. Knowles said he passed on a collaboration between a then-established R. Kelly, who had hits such as To His Name by... who had hits such as To His Name by then, such as 1993's Bump and Grind and 1996's I Believe I Can Fly, and his up-and-coming group due to both business and creative differences. I personally rejected the song because I didn't think it was a good song, he said, of the track, which would have been on the group's self-titled debut album, which featured Beyonce, Kelly Rowland, and then members Latavia Robinson and Latoya Luckett. Not just because of his reputation, this was around 1998. We had just begun to hear some of those things. Interesting. Not just because of his reputation, this was around 1998. We had just begun to hear some of those things. So, it wasn't just because of his reputation. It was a music thing, too, the creative differences, but the reputation tied in as well. So, basically, what this is implying is that R. Kelly did indeed try, you know, his hand, you know, as far as, like, maybe not actually getting to a point where he literally tried to get them, because Tina and Matthew Knowles made sure that the opportunity didn't present itself. But it is safe to assume that had Matthew Knowles and Tina Knowles let their guards down and left Destiny's Child in the studio with R. Kelly, that he would have tried to lure them into his cult, you know, and had them calling him daddy and, you know, reeled them away from Matthew Knowles and Tina Knowles. And, you know, it is safe to assume that he would have tried to put them under his spell and at least have sex with them, probably all of them. Like, you know, it's safe to assume. It really is, in my opinion. You know, now this is Matthew Knowles coming out with an official statement, you know. And, you know, it's quite interesting. Now, this post is dated January the 10th, 2019, but I don't know when, you know, if first the statement first came out. I don't know if it was exactly after surviving R. Kelly, but why would this statement all of a sudden pop up now, like, if it didn't come out after surviving R. Kelly? I want to say, I don't know for sure, but I want to say, and I'm going to assume that this statement definitely came out after surviving R. Kelly, you know, because it would make a lot of sense that it did, like, after that, and people were talking, and Matthew's like, hey, well, you know what? I got a little R. Kelly story. You know, he wanted to work with my daughters, too, and we were uncomfortable. You know what I mean? And so who do y'all think about that? Can you imagine, you know what I mean, like, how that would have played out if Tina and Matthews would have, can you imagine how that would have played out if Tina and Matthew Knowles would have let their guards down and let Beyonce and Destiny's Child, kick it with R. Kelly in the studio? Do you think that R. Kelly would have had the audacity to try to sex down Destiny's Child or lure them in? You know, when they were, like, up and coming and the next hot thing? Like, do you think that R. Kelly would have went hard? Because I think he would have been hard being around them. You know what I mean? Like, seriously, man. It's not a laughing matter, but It's so horrible. Sometimes you gotta try to get, like, a joke out of it because it's horrible, you know. And sometimes you gotta laugh to lighten the mood because it's so horrible, man. But my personal opinion, you know, I think he definitely would have. I think he would have tried to smash. And who knows what type of stories Destiny's Child and Beyonce would have had. Who knows how that would have swung the trajectory of them and their careers and, you know, their mentalities moving forward after experiencing being under R. Kelly's wing. Like, what if he would have said, hey, man, I'm going to take them under my wing. I got them. I'm telling you. I'm going to make them. And they'd be like, you know what? You're the man. You're R. Kelly. Yeah, you got it. Go ahead. Like, I'm going to trust you with Destiny's Child to, you know, help mentor them. And then they ended up being a part of his sex cult, living in his house and calling him daddy and not being able to look when men come around and stuff. And can you imagine? I'm going to say they definitely probably wouldn't have became Destiny's Child and had the careers they had. I think he would have ruined those girls, you know? Me personally, but what do y'all think? Do y'all think, you know, it's blowing out of proportion, people feeding too much into it? Do y'all think he would have tried his arm on Destiny's Child? Do you think he would have tried to smash? You know, do you think he would have tried to, you know, really reel them into his cult? You know, do you think we would have never gotten Destiny's Child had they went under R. Kelly's wing? And if he had mentored Destiny's Child? How do y'all think Destiny's Child spending unsupervised time with R. Kelly and being mentored by R. Kelly would have impacted their lives and their careers? Will we have Beyonce today? Would Beyonce ever have gotten with Jay, and would Destiny's Child would have formed the way it did and played out the way it did and had the success they did? Which I want to say definitely, while we're on the subject, is one of the greatest R&B groups of all time, and especially female groups, because it seems to me when you think back in history that there have been more male R&B groups, you know, more male R&B groups and more male singing groups, because one could argue, well, Destiny's Child isn't necessarily R&B, but more male singing groups than females. So I don't know what the list of female groups are, but I can't think of a female group. I mean, we got TLC, which is up there too, definitely. But other than that, I can't really think of another female group to really kind of match up with Destiny's Child. They are, hands down, one of the greatest singing groups of all time, and definitely one of the greatest female singing groups of all time, if not the greatest. Now, maybe some of y'all older than me, y'all can say, oh, hold up. Now, what about this group, that group from the 70s and the 80s and all that? I don't know. Like, send me some links. Let me tune in. I'll let you know what I think. But when I think of great R&B groups or great singing groups, especially females, Destiny's Child, the first that pops up, and TLC. I would say Destiny's Child and TNC. Destiny's Child and TLC. And depending on what day it is, that's the one that'll pop up first. You know, for me, personally. But Destiny's Child, man, like, if you can't say Destiny's Child is top five singing groups, female singing groups of all time, then I don't know if I can even, you know, accept I don't know if I can accept your taste in music. Like, they're that great to me. Like, they were awesome. Like, I can't take nothing from them girls. They did their thing. They changed the game, straight up. But with that said, how do you think it would have panned out if they would have came under R. Kelly's grasp? How do you think it would have played out? Do you think when R. Kelly was trying to work with Destiny's Child that he was trying to smash, do you think in the back of his mind, like, yeah, I'm about to have me three or four young tenderonis, and, yeah, we'll probably come up with a record. They got some talent, but forget all that. I'm trying to get that ass. Do you think that that's how R. Kelly was thinking? And do you think, had it not been for Matthew and Tina Knowles' tight grasp on Destiny's Child, not leaving them unsupervised with R. Kelly, that he would have tried his arm? I don't know. Y'all let me know. I can tell y'all this. I am so glad that that didn't happen. I'm glad that Tina and Matthew kept a tight grasp on Destiny's Child, and that they seem to have done a wonderful, wonderful job with those girls. And that's the reason why they had the career they had. And I'm so glad that R. Kelly did not get them under his grasp and, you know, do goodness knows what to and with them. So y'all let me know what y'all think. What's y'all opinions?
Radio. You can catch us every week live on Blog Talk Radio by logging on to blogtalkradio.com/TayReal or by calling 347-838-9540. Unable to catch the live show? No problem. You can hear all of our archive shows on blogtalkradio.com, iTunes, or Stitcher. If you're interested in being a guest, you can email us or contact us on social media at itsrealtalkradio@gmail.com. It's Real Talk Radio. We're not just a brand. We're a family. But most important.
important, we keep it real.